was a strange game, I thought. You know, we weren't far away from getting a result that would, and everything would have been rosy, and we wouldn't be having this conversation, obviously. But I thought Liverpool were a bit off it, both going forward and at the back. And, you know, the sort of circumstances around how Sunderland end up getting a point, it's inevitable that you'd end up talking about the ref and things like that. But, you know, that aside, Liverpool didn't perform to the level that we know they can. They did look a bit leggy. They did look a little bit ponderous, I thought, once they got to the final third. And a little bit of panic seemed to set in a few times at the back as well. So all of those things together, you know, it's probably a fair result in on reflection. But I'm not too down about it, if I'm honest. I mean, a lot of Reds are that I'm speaking to. Some of them bordering on the point where I'm a little bit worried about them. But I'm trying to be the calm, sensible one and say to them, look, you know, we've done all right already this season. And if you'd have said, you know, we'll beat Man City, we'll beat Arsenal, we'll beat Chelsea, we'll win the derby in the last minute, and then we'll draw at Sunderland, well, you'd take that, wouldn't you? So I think, you know, it's one of them where it's easy to get caught in the moment to get all down about the one result. But I think if you'd have said at the start of the season, you know, what is it, 42 points now from 20 games, I think every single Red in the world would have surely have taken that. And, you know, the context is obviously that Chelsea are absolutely flying, and because of that, that's what's made it feel so bad that we haven't ate into their lead a little bit more by winning at Sunderland, which seemed a winnable fixture. But, you know, nothing should be taken for granted. I mean, they're going to Spurs this week, and that'll be a tough game. Spurs look like a good side, and Spurs also will be looking for a bit of revenge against Chelsea after last season. So, you know, all's not lost. There's still 19 games or 18 games for Liverpool to play, so there's a lot more twists and turns and all that, as the old cliche goes. So no, I'm still fairly upbeat, to be honest, mate.
Just when you thought 2016 might have been a little bit apocalyptic to describe the start of 2017, and Gareth Roberts is the sensible one in a room, my word, it could be an interesting 2017 ahead of us. Well, listen, let's talk about the squad, right? I'm just looking to my right here. I'm looking at some commentators and indeed writers saying Axel Witsel away to China. Julian Draxler looks like he's on his way to PSG. The silly season has started, and when you look at the little lack of depth that Liverpool potentially have at the moment, not too sure what the situation is with Sturridge. Mane, obviously he's gone for a while. We're still not too sure what the situation is with Coutinho. Would you stick your hand in your pocket and maybe acquire one or two young gentlemen to get us through the next bit?
I think if it was up to me, it was. But I mean, I'm a football fan and I'm a bit mad. You know, I think when it comes to actually sort of running the club and being sensible, which is what Jurgen Klopp's trying to do, and I guess that's what the owner's trying to do too, you know, you don't want to go out there and look desperate. And I've seen people moaning, saying, well, he doesn't really seem like he wants to sign anyone. Even if he does want to sign someone, why would he go out and tell the world? You know, you should, as much as possible in the modern world, still try and keep it under your hat, because surely that helps in terms of, you know, negotiations and everything else. If you look too desperate, then I think, you know, you'll be charged accordingly. So, yeah, I'd like to see Liverpool do some business, all that said. I mean, I think one of the, you know, a lot of the talk around the Sunderland game has been, why didn't Liverpool rotate more? But, you know, when you looked at the options for who they would be rotating with respect to those players, it was players who haven't played for a long time and have been out of the first team picture, or inexperienced players like Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ben Woodburn, Ajaria, those sort of players. I mean, all of those have performed well at times and they've looked good at different levels of football to the Premier League. But to throw them in a crucial, what is a title race, you know, that would have been slightly harsh, I think, to almost throw them all in, four or five of them at once in a team that's been doing well, and say, go on, lads, go and perform. So,
but is that, yeah, not right, is that not in essence what he's done in the League Cup as well? I know it's a slightly different competition. And you know, you maybe have to do that just at least once or twice in a Premier League season to keep the legs fresh, and this could be to Liverpool's detriment.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? I think it was a tough one to call for me. I mean, I know a lot of people were calling for fresh legs and all that, but at the same time, you know, Klopp himself talked about rhythm, and I think you do get rhythm when you play in a team with the same players every week. You build understandings between players, you can see it on the pitch. And when you suddenly throw in four or five different players, then that rhythm's gone. And all of a sudden, it's not quite as off the cuff as it can be when you know where players are going. So all of a sudden, you're having to take an extra touch or two to see where players have run to. You don't know that they will definitely make, you know, run X, which you know that another player may do because you're playing with them every week. So there's all that to take into consideration. I mean, you're right to point out that he's blooded a lot of the kids in the League Cup and the FA Cup last season as well. But to throw them into the Premier League feels like a bit of a different story. I mean, some people are even taking that another step and saying, you know, is the fact that they've been on the bench so often, all those kids recently, is that almost a bit of a sign to the owners to say, well, look, this is how thin the squad is. And I think the squad is fairly thin, and this is another reason, it sounds weird, but it's almost why it's a positive for me that Liverpool have done so well to get all the way up there. But when you compare their resources currently to other sides who are up there, you know, our bench hasn't looked particularly strong for a long time now. So if there's two or three out there that Klopp can think can do a job, can improve the first 11 or the squad, then I'd like to see Liverpool do that business. But, you know, all the noises have suggested that it will only be on those terms. So there won't be a panic buy. There won't be, you know, a sort of aging player somewhere else who isn't getting his game, who's on big money. I think it'll have to fit a certain profile. So it's most likely a young player. I mean, we've been linked with the lad at Dortmund, Pulisic, is it, over and over. I think, you know, if they can do something there, then I think they'll try and do it. And there's noises backwards and forwards there as well. I think Dortmund have said a few times, sort of, he's not for sale, he's not for sale. But I almost think, you know, they protest too much there. And it sort of feels like they're saying, well, but he might be if you cough up, that sort of thing.
Do you see Lucas leaving the club? I see some tweeters and indeed people apart of your own organisation saying that they didn't feel that Lucas would be gone. I think it'd be disappointing from a Liverpool's perspective to see Lucas gone and Inter Milan being linked with him.
Yeah, it's never sort of gone away. That's been around for a while now, and it feels like a strange time to let him go, if I'm perfectly honest, just because, you know, you've said yourself, and I've said it there as well, that the squad has looked thin at times. And to let someone go of that experience at this stage, when we are where we are in the league as well, it would seem slightly strange. But sort of the noises that come out of Liverpool about it are almost that it would be as a favour to Lucas, if you like, for the, you know, what he's put in for Liverpool. So if the right offer was there and Lucas wanted to go, then maybe he will be allowed to go. But there still seems some doubt over whether that will happen. And certainly the way the sort of, you know, the result goes there against Sunderland, and then we've got now three cup games before we play Man United. I don't know, it seems a bit of a strange time. It seems like he would be playing in some of those games the next few days if he was to stick around. So it's all of a sudden move for nothing, because the talk is that it's loan leading to permanent. It, you know, sort of feels like, can't we just hang on until the summer and then make the decision then, really, especially if we're not sure about people coming in. I mean, you know, we've heard Joe Gomez being touted as being ready now, and, you know, he's the man who can now step into the centre-back breach if there is one. But he hasn't played there for Liverpool. He's got his game.
He's never played there, really, for Liverpool. He started off as a right and left back, didn't he?
That's right. So to suddenly say he's absolutely ready to step into the Premier League and play centre-half for Liverpool, well, I'm not sure. And, you know, I've seen Lucas do that okay with varying degrees of success, but you almost know what you're going to get from Lucas, and I think his teammates around him will do. Whereas you throw Gomez in, you know, there's that wait and see period, and there's that settling in period. I mean, I certainly think he's sort of being, it looks like he's being pushed that way to my mind for a long time. You always see him on Instagram and he's lifting these huge weights. He's bulked up quite a lot. So that doesn't look to me like a man who's going to be running up and down the wing. It looks like a man who's going to be challenging big grok centre forwards every week. So I think there has been a decision to turn him into a centre half out and out. But to say, let's get rid of Lucas and just rely on this, that seems a bit of a gamble for me.
Bit of breaking football news. Premier League bottom club Swansea City appoint ex-Derby County boss Paul Clement as the third boss of the season. We've kind of seen that one coming, but that's just a bit of breaking news. We'll develop that story after 6 o'clock here on Radio City Talk. Just let's look at the positives, because I'm kind of want to go with the thread that you brought to the show there a couple of minutes ago, Gareth, saying that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for Liverpool, right? It is 7 points out of a potential 9 over Christmas. I spoke to Danny Austin from the Anfield Wrap just before Christmas, and he said he'd take 7 out of 9. Decent enough result, if not necessarily performance against City. Rode their luck at time against Stoke, but got the performance and got the results ultimately. So from that perspective, a bit of a break and a bit of a rest, Liverpool could build and kick on okay.
Yeah, and hopefully get some players back from injury as well. I mean, you would hope that by the time we come round to face Man United, that Henderson's fit again, that Coutinho's fit again. And I think, you know, with those results we got over Christmas, for instance, if you simply reversed Man City and Sunderland, if we'd have drawn against City and beat Sunderland, I think it would feel a lot more upbeat than it currently is. Because it's that way round, because, you know, Sunderland was seen as this easy 3 points, that's why people are sort of feeling like they feel. But like you say, then, you know, we've done well. We've got a good point, so we're still in there. You know, we're not 15 or 16 behind, but we're 5 behind at the moment. And then Chelsea have got this really tough game at Tottenham's ground, so we'll see. You know, everyone thinks that's a foregone conclusion now, but, you know, perhaps the lesson is from all this, there isn't any foregone conclusions in football. And I've been pleased with Liverpool over Christmas, just how the different ways that they've won football games, really. Mm. I mean, you mentioned the City game. They didn't play well, but they absolutely dogged it. They fought, they battled, and they fought and out-battled City and got that win. And that's what the best teams do. I mean, you know, anyone who's watched Chelsea this season, you can't tell me that they're blowing teams away with 1970s Brazil football.
Which is this is kind of a point I wanted to bring up with you today, is because over Christmas, Klopp was almost very anti-Klopp, right? Just look at the Stoke performance, and we'll let you go in a second, right? The Stoke performance, had Joe Allen finished to put Stoke 2-0 up, it could have been a very different game. Mm-hmm. If you look at City, the entire performance, it had to be tailored for how City were going to play, which is very unlike Liverpool at Anfield. And then yesterday, had Simon Mignolet not made the save he made at the feet of Jermaine Defoe, it could have been a very different story as well. So just using that rhetoric, you're absolutely right. 7 points out of nine isn't a bad return.
No, because you would like to think, I'd like to think anyway, that at some point Liverpool will find the groove again and play some of the football like we've seen earlier on in the season when they're scoring 4s, 5s and 6s. And if that comes, you know, sometime between now and May and we're still up there, then all the best to whatever sides we're facing. Because I think the other point to make now is we're now past the halfway point of the season. Liverpool have played everyone they've got to play. They've got the record they've got. There's no one to fear. We've seen them all. We've seen every side in the league up against Liverpool now. And we know they can beat Chelsea because they have done. We know they can beat Arsenal because they have done. They probably could have beat Spurs. You know, Spurs played quite well on the day. Man United came to Anfield and shut up shop. Are they going to do the same at Old Trafford, or are they going to think they're going to win it? Probably in the current form, I think they'll open up a bit more because they're also at home. I think them opening up a bit more probably benefits Liverpool than compared to what they did at Anfield. So there's so many. That's why we love football. It can go so many ways, and you know, don't live in the moment would be my advice to anyone who's feeling down now. So, and look again at the league table. Look at how many goals Liverpool have scored. Look at where they are, and Chelsea have had to go on a record-breaking run to be where they are. They can't maintain that all season, I don't think.
So there you go. Two questions to ask you before I let you go. Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Wrap, the multi-award-winning Anfield Wrap, which is here every single Friday evening between 6:30 and 7:30. You can download last week's episode now. Get yourself on to iTunes. Gareth, can Liverpool win the league? Will Liverpool win the league?
I think they can. I would say that they can. They're up there, as I say, at this stage of the season. I think we need to be fortunate with injuries. I would say that. I said before that.
Will Liverpool win the league?
Will they? We'll see, mate.
I love it. Great way to finish the interview, and great way to start 2017. Gareth, as always, an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks a lot.